I work.
Robert is a famous school.
Here we go.
Oh, seriously, you're recording this?
Yeah. Oh. We're editing.
I thought this was all just a prop. Thanks, Thaddeus. I'm Bob Knievel. I'm the president and CEO of Rombauer Vineyards. Let's talk about our Pinot story. So for many years, our founder, Kerner Rombauer, was determined to stay very focused on a very limited portfolio of classic varietals. Started with Cabernet Sauvignon because our original winery is based in St. Helena, California, for the north end of the Napa Valley. Added Chardonnay in 1982, Merlot in 1983, and Zinfandel in 1990. And then we took a long break, introduced our second white wine in our portfolio, Sauvignon Blanc, in 2014. And again, took a long break. Okay. We, for more than three decades, we had our customers come into the tasting room expecting to taste through our portfolio and always asking us, and now I would love a taste of your Pinot Noir. And we just had to explain that we didn't make one.
You were on a break.
So we were on a break. So we knew, and our founder was concerned that maybe it was a fad, maybe it was a finicky grape to grow, it was tough to be able to do it consistently, and so he really didn't have any interest. He passed away in 2018. One of the people who came to his funeral was Adam Lee, who was the founder of Siduri, a very famous Pinot producer. Early in his career, when Kerner was starting to get our winery going, and Adam was a wine buyer at a retail shop in Austin, Texas, they became great friends. And when Adam moved west to start to make, to satisfy his dream, fulfill his dream of making Pinot, his first stop was at the Rombauers, and he was always appreciated Kerner for his sense of hospitality, his generosity, his philanthropy, his willingness to give and give and give. So Adam came to the funeral, and Adam at that point had recently sold Siduri to another company, and he was starting to think about how he could consult for other wineries who had an interest in making Pinot Noir. So he came to us and he said, I think you should be making a Pinot Noir. And at that point I said, you know, you're right. It's time. It's time we do that. This was 2020, late 2019. So, and he said, you should make it from fruit in Carneros, because you're very famous in Carneros for your Chardonnay, and so it's just a natural fit, and you should make it with Carneros fruit. So, okay, well, that's interesting, but we're not about a place. We're about sourcing the very best fruit that we can find for whatever varietal we choose to make, and we'll take our time and kind of figure that out. So we asked our winemaker to evaluate fruit availability in Carneros, and to see if we could we make a world-class Pinot with Carneros fruit? And as importantly, would it be scalable? Could we make more? Because we knew if we made a great wine, our customers would want more. And he came back and he said, I could make some pretty good Pinot out of Carneros, but I don't think it's very scalable. I said, okay, so let's start our research. And we spent a year tasting wines and visiting vineyard sites all the way from the Santa Rita Hills down near Santa Barbara, all the way through Oregon, trying and looking for fruit that would stylistically give us a wine that we thought our customers would appreciate, that would represent a Rombauer style of wine. And we ended up in the Santa Lucia Highlands. We just kept coming back to the Santa Lucia Highlands. And Adam had relationships all up and down the coast. So he introduced us to Gary Pisoni and Gary Francione. Mm-hmm. They have a very famous vineyard there called the Garys. And we arranged to get a little bit of fruit there in 2020. Garys, Rosellas, Soberanis, Sierra Mar, La Miravo. These wonderful vineyard sites. And then fire season hit.
Did that affected you guys? I thought the Pinot was already picked in 2020 before the fire thing. No. That's not true.
Well, Oh, not in the
some,
Central.
Maybe some of it.
Okay.
But in our case, in the Santa Lucia Highlands, those all caught on fire.
Okay.
So we're busy fighting glass fire up in Napa Valley. They were fighting their own fire in the Santa Lucia Mountains.
Yes.
So to their credit, or you know, the Garys called us up and said, "Not this year." And we said, "Thank you." You know. So our first vintage, our inaugural vintage, is in the glass in front of you. Our 2021 Santa Lucia Highlands Pinot Noir.
Very,
very proud of it. Yeah.
Just to switch over just a little bit, just speak to what you're known for, which is the Chardonnay. And now I know you guys make more than one Chardonnay. I mean, most Americans doesn't know that. They just, I know, but I mean, because it's probably the most poured Chard by the glass in the country. It has to be somewhere up there, correct?
It is. It's the number one Chardonnay above a $25 price point across the country by a wide margin. And we don't, we're not braggadocious about that. We're a humble company by nature. We never take it for granted. We just try to make it better every year. And we still make it. One of our limitations over time has been the fact we still make it just the same way we did when we were making 20 barrels. And now we make many thousands of barrels. But we're still it's still a handmade wine.
So was there at any time when you guys was in competition with KJ? I'm just saying, because KJ, I think they're up to like 25 million or some bottles or cases there, you know, that they're doing. Was there any like a competition there?
You know, they're an exceptional company, a great company, and deserve to be proud of what they've accomplished and all that they do. And I think they're really good for the industry in terms of creating awareness around Chardonnay. But in all candor, we've just been trying to satisfy our own customer demand for 43 years. So we stay very focused on just that. How do we remain a very high integrity, very quality oriented company? If the wine isn't right, or if the fruit isn't right, we won't make it. That's always been our philosophy. And it's one of the benefits of being a family owned company.
And what's the typical vinification for your normal Chard?
So we bring the fruit in. All hand-picked fruit still, hand-picked at night, bring it in, whole cluster pressed, rests in tank overnight, then straight to barrels. We use a combination of American and French oak barrels, about a third new. We use a third. We keep our barrels for three vintages and then retire them. The wine is in barrel for 9 months. We really only rack it once prior to, so we just let it rest. We do inoculate for malolactic conversion.
Yes.
And we also employ Sirlees technique. So we stir the barrels every 7 to 10 days. Give it that creamy mid palate texture. We then blend in the spring, late spring. And it's about 150 different vineyard lots in the wine, which is why it's so complex and beautiful. Almost entirely Carneros fruit, and much of it from our own estate vineyards, but we also are sourcing fruit from growers, renowned growers in the region that we've been utilizing since we started making Chardonnay more than 30 years ago.
All right, thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Bob with Rumbauer, great American Chardonnay. Everyone drinks it, so it's really good juice. Cheers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Thaddeus.